I'm stalling because I have to talk about something sad today, and I don't necessarily want to, but, you know, I'm going to talk because last week I wasn't the speaker. Patrick was here, and last week was the week when somebody vandalized Temple Beth Torah and drew a swastika on their sign, actually stenciled a swastika on their sign, and to me that makes a difference. You know, the police responded beautifully, and the neighbors came out, and I was in touch with the interfaith group and contacted Rabbi Lisa. And she was quite philosophical about it and had a strong attitude where she said, and this is odd to me, but she said, it's only a swastika, at least it's not a shooting. And I think it's a beautiful reaction to keep things in perspective, but when we're at a place when we're saying it's only a swastika, I think it means that there's a systemic problem going on and it needs to be addressed. And I felt like Lisa did a good job of addressing it in what she wrote back to the interfaith group of saying that no, the call is not for more hatred, the call is for more kindness. The call is for more acts of love. The call is for more acts of giving. The call is for more acts of showing up like we are the I am that is love, that shares love, and that serves love. That's what the call is. And yet, we're left with questions. We're left with questions as, is there hope? Will that work? Wouldn't it be better if we just channeled some of our anger into getting back at the people that do bad things or judging them, as Karen said, right, Karen? Judging them or withholding love and forgiveness? And I think we all know from spiritual philosophy that that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be loving our enemies and blessing those who curse us and praying for those who are jerks, and that's exactly what Jesus said. I'm waiting for David Kerrigan to correct me. yeah, I know. And there's a fourth one. Love, bless, do good to those who harm you. We're supposed to be doing all of those things, right? Right? But does it work? Is it working? Or are we really not doing it? Are we succumbing to trying to drive out violence with more violence, or trying to drive out anger with more anger at the perpetrators? The talk today is about how hatred is armor for grief. And I read something like that quote. I'm paraphrasing it, but the real quote is something more like, hatred is grief's bodyguard. If we eliminate the hatred, then we have to deal with the grief underneath. And so people who are doing violent acts, whether they're out there or in there, what if we were to look at, maybe it is grief. Grief that can be touched and grief that can be healed. Grieving for what, you might ask. When I was in India a year ago, I met a Canadian tantric yoga teacher who was a guitar maker who was an expert in Indian philosophy. And his name was Fabrizio. I'll just call him that instead of saying that Indian or native Canadian, whatever I just said, guitar maker. His name is Fabrizio. And he told me a tantric story from about how the creation of the world happened. He said that Shakti and Shiva were together. Shiva is a Hindu deity, and Shakti is his consort. And they were enjoying life together. And then Shiva, being this sort of presence of extreme creation, needed to become manifest, needed to create form. And so Shakti said, okay, I'm going to separate from you and create the world of form from myself. And I'm going to forget that you and I are one. But there's going to be a small part of me that's going to remember and that's going to constantly try and get back to you. And I think that that's a metaphor for a lot of what we talk about here, is that we have been cast into existence with divine forgetfulness so that we can remember, so that we can have the joy of discovery as we remember who we are. But we go about trying to remember in all sorts of convoluted ways. That Shakti Shiva story, I think that's being backed up by science now. Not literally, but metaphorically. In the book that we're featuring this week, which is More Together, or this month rather, which is More Together Than Alone by Mark Nepo, who is an awesome writer, beautiful writer, He talks about how he was at the Parliament for World Religions, and he was listening to a lecture by a guy named Dr. Laszlo, who was talking about atoms, A-T-O-M-S, atoms. And he was talking about how if you put atom A with atom B, even if they have separate vibrations or a separate vibratory frequency or rate or whatever, that they'll start vibrating together before too long. And then if you add a third atom, atom C, that somehow they will all match each other's rate or come up with a new vibratory rate, so they're all vibrating together in the same way. That we are naturally inclined to seek that resonance. And Mark Nepo points out in his book, when he was telling that story, he said that this was at the Parliament of World Religions, where it was being translated into four languages, and around the world there were 8,000 people vibrating in that resonance of what Dr. Laszlo was saying. So what I know from this, thinking about atoms and molecules, is that yes, we are programmed to seek resonance, and we are programmed to seek connection. In the book, he points it out so beautifully, something that I've always taken for granted. I've always taken for granted that the world is built on connection, that our biochemistry is built on connection. We are biologically programmed for connection, that our atoms connect with other atoms to create molecules, and our molecules create with other molecules to create cells, and our cells create tissues and organs and bodies and living things and inanimate objects and animate objects and all of these things. It's all about connection, and then we create community, and then we extend that community to embrace the world and the universe. We are connecting constantly. It is our nature. And so when acts of violence happen, if they are really grief, perhaps we are grieving that we are no longer feeling our connection and our wholeness. Perhaps we are homesick for wholeness. And that homesickness causes us to reach out in ways that are unproductive and unpredictable, causes people to join gangs or to join together and do things that are seemingly against society, but when they're in that moment with other people who support them, they feel this sense of connection, this false sense of connection. So we are homesick for wholeness. And I hate to have to tell you this, but it's not just those people, right? Or those people. The people out there that are doing difficult things. This other article that I read this week, I think it was by Charles Eisenstein, who's a wonderful writer also, he wrote about how if we look at somebody who commits a violent act, we often will say, I would never do such a thing. But then he asks us to consider, if we were in that person's position, if we were raised by that person's parents, if we had had that person's circumstances, if we had that person's loneliness and their pain, is it possible that we would do what they did? Part of me wants to say, absolutely not. I would never, ever consider drawing a swastika on something. And then part of me is more truthful, saying, if I was in that person's shoes, I might do the same thing. And that truthfulness causes me to look at myself right now, causes me to look within and see what acts of violence, because of my homesickness for wholeness, because of my covered up grief, what acts of inner or outer violence I'm committing. And I look at these things without shame or blame or regret or guilt. I just look at them like it's opening up a puzzle, opening up a mosaic, so that I can see all of the parts of myself and embrace myself and absolutely know that wholeness is all-inclusive, right? That wholeness is perfection, and perfection means inclusive of everything. And so I look at myself, and I see that sometimes I am petty. Sometimes I am attention-seeking. Hello. Sometimes I am impatient. Wait, let me rephrase that. Often, maybe always I am impatient. Sometimes I am indifferent to the suffering of others. And then when you see it, and I want to make this really clear, when you see it without shame or guilt or self-blame or self-judgment, because that's just another layer of violence upon violence, right? When you see it, you can open up and consider alternatives. When you see it, you can heal it. It needs to be revealed to be healed. And so today, I've been looking at my inner and outer violence, the ways that I attack myself and the ways that I, on the continuum of violence, I haven't physically hurt anybody, but the ways that I did tell my dogs I was taking them to the dog pound because they were so bad, but my poor husband was like, what? I'm like, I'm just pretending I'm Joan Crawford, I can't, it's just driving me crazy. You were the worst dogs ever. No. But I would never do that, please. Anyway, I've looked at inner and outer violence, and this is such an odd example, but it has to do with indifference. I was at Vaughn's, and I used to be really opposed to grocery shopping, you know? I just thought it was just incredibly tedious and boring, and people are always blocking the aisles, and then you pick the wrong line, right? It says the express line, but no, it's not the express line. So I was in Vaughn's, and I was shopping, and there was somebody, an elderly couple, that was blocking the line with their cart, and I had to go past them several times, and it was a very, very friendly exchange, and I was in this place where I felt like, okay, I'm at the grocery store, I want to be of service in some way. And they were looking for a can of soup, a particular special can of soup that they really, really wanted. They wanted this can of soup, clearly, very badly, because they were taking up the whole aisle to find it. And I had this little voice in my head, ask them if they need help. And then what do we do when we have an inspiration for kindness? What do some of us do? We say, I'm not doing that. That'll make me feel like vulnerable, and they may not understand what I'm asking. I'm not doing that. Just push your cart, go on to the dog food aisle, you know? But I said, no, let's do it differently. Let's do it differently. You're contemplating the way that you're treating other people and the way that you're treating yourself from a perspective of the opposite of violence, which is love. What is the most loving thing to do in this situation? And so I approached them and I asked them, can I help you find something? And at first, the man understood me, the woman didn't understand me. And she's like, what are you saying? And then she looks at you, oh, there it is. She found the soup right after I asked. Now, I am not a fundamentalist religious scientist. I don't necessarily believe that there's a linear relationship between cause and effect, that I always know what the cause of everything is. Right? Oh, sorry, I hope I didn't offend anybody, but I'm willing to not know what causes everything. But I wondered, in the perspective of that resonance, of all of those atoms vibrating together, in those 8,000 people listening to the talk about the atoms in four different languages, and in the atoms of my body, in the body of this elderly couple, and the atoms in the soup can, if possibly my approaching them and saying, can I help you find something, led to an opening of her vision so that she could see the can of chicken pot pie soup that she wanted. Has anybody ever had that? I did not know that something like that existed. I would have some, except that I was on a sugar bacchanal during all of Christmas, and I'm clean eating again. So nobody bring me fudge or cookies after church, okay? That's just a rule. Okay. But anyway, I have to think that, as it said in the affirmation, that the world has changed, not necessarily by our leaders. Hugh said in the reading, the world has changed not through policy or politics, but through decency. And maybe our willingness to look at the world in a different way, to look at violence and see that it has covered up grief and try and get our understanding and our compassion revved up for the people that are perpetrating it, it doesn't mean accepting it or allowing it to happen. It just means having a different relationship with it, a relationship that does indeed change the world. And also taking that relationship and then extending it inward to know that we too have the capacity for violence, whether it's inner violence or outer violence, there is a whole continuum of violence and we are part of that. And so can we heal the violence that we perpetrate upon ourselves and others? Can we heal it without shame, without blame, without layering violence upon violence? Can we lift ourselves up to be the change, to be the peace, to be the love, to be the healing, to be the kindness that we want to see in the world? Can we? Good. Amen and hallelujah. All right. Now, this is another example of how we can do that, and it's not coming from me. It's coming from our beloved Reverend Judy, who is going to talk to us. There you go. Okay.
I'm going to take
Okay, sounds good. There you go. Good job. All right.
I have often heard it said, probably here, probably from you, probably today.
Really?
That if we stop asking the question of why this is happening and start asking the question, what can I learn from this, or how can I see things differently, that everything shifts. And I had one of those shifty experiences over this issue of the vandalizing of Temple Beth Torah. It all started for me on New Year's Eve when I attended a workshop right here that was led by Dina and Susan and Linda, who's around here someplace. Oh, there she is. Anyway, it was one of those workshops that we have at the end of the year where we release things that no longer serve us and embrace something new. And it became very clear to me as I was going through the exercises that they presented that I was to release judgment and I was to embrace love, as Reverend Bonnie says, loving beyond my ability to love. And then I went home and I forgot about it. And that's what you do, right?
Yeah.
So then the next thing that happened was that somebody vandalized my neighbor. I live in the neighborhood where Temple Beth Torah is, and I have walked past the temple or driven past the temple thousands of times, and like you had said earlier, I was a little bit indifferent about it. It was a nice building with nice people, and I liked Rabbi Lisa, but I hadn't really given it much thought or much energy or much love or attention. And then somebody did something really nasty to my neighbors, and my heart was opened so wide as a result of that I loved these people. I poured love and compassion to all the people at Temple Beth Torah. And I thought to myself, is doing these things another way that love reveals itself? And if that's the case, and it could be, then what am I supposed to think about the people who did it? Saying, gee, thank you for the enlightenment, didn't feel right. But also being angry and wanting to strike back, that just adds more anger. That doesn't feel right either. So I'm still pondering what to do about these folks. Don't get me wrong, if I could cure bigotry and hatred and unhealthy way of being in this, I would do it in a heartbeat. Of course I would. It's not like I'm condoning what they do now because it enlightens me and it wakes me up from my stupor. But after that, then what happened next was my mind does what my mind does really, really well. It started looking for evidence of the proof of my rightness about this position, and all of a sudden I started hearing stories about how bigotry brought out so much love in other people. For example, I heard a story about a teenager, a black teenager who played hockey in high school, and he was on a team, and the other team started racially taunting him when they were playing a game, and his teammates rallied around him in such a way that he said, I never felt like I belonged so much outside of my own family. And I thought, well, that's another way that love is revealing itself through cases of bigotry and hatred. And so what am I supposed to do with this? How am I supposed to feel about people who perpetrate this type of bigotry and harmfulness? I'm still not sure. I know that I cannot cure bigotry for the entire world. That's not mine to do. all I can do, I guess, is work on it within myself and become a person who loves more than they judge. And I'm working on it, and it's unfolding more and more each day, and I'm grateful for that. And I've forgotten how to end this.
With applause. There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's beautiful. Okay, all right. So what stood out for me in that, many, many things, that was so beautiful. Thank you, Judy. I'm so glad that you were willing to do this for us, is, okay, let's affirm that we can end violence, that we can create a world that works for everybody, and that it's done through tiny acts of kindness and tiny acts of goodness. I was speaking with Lucky, our outreach coordinator, and we were talking about, how many of you have seen the Nemo Patel video? He's a Indian rapper, and he has this video where it's We Shall Overcome, and they've got all these construction paper hearts, and they're bringing them to people and talking about how the world seems like a mess, but love is gonna you don't drive out hate with hatred, you drive out hate with love, right? Embracing the hatred with love. And we were talking about possibly going to Temple Beth Torah. I haven't cleared this with Lisa yet, but going to Temple Beth Torah with a heart attack. Getting a bunch, since their sign has been vandalized, getting a bunch of construction paper hearts and just taking a picture of us standing by the sign with the construction paper hearts. Would you be interested in doing that if we did that? Okay. All right. So, you know, and again, it seems like that's not going to make a difference, but I've been doing this work for a long time now. For a long time, I've been doing this work of kindness and this work of taking tiny little acts and seeing the ripples that they make. And think about those 8,000 people listening to that religious conference on how atoms vibrate together. If we all start vibrating in a place of love and kindness, then that will ripple out, and there will be other atoms, other beings that become resonant with us. And through that, through these tiny 10,000, 100,000, a million acts of kindness and goodness done by ordinary people like you and like me, then that is what lifts the world up into a better place, where we are all a center of love, where we are love, where we share love, where we serve love. Let's do that now, and let us pray. And so I'm going to just know right here and right now that there is one perfect life, one beautiful life that is the life of love. Some of us call it God, some call it higher power, some call it spirit. Whatever it is, it is the all-abiding, absolute reality of the all-goodness that is both empty and full, that is sufficient, all-sufficiency, embracing every insufficiency, that it is the allness in every illness, that it is the perfection in every imperfection, that it is the beauty and the power and the love through which we live and move and have our sacred being. So right now, I connect with that. I connect with that power, with that greatness, with that grace of the goodness of spirit, with the whole of creation. I connect in my cells, I connect in my heart, in my spirit, in my mind, in my being, in my actions. And as I connect myself, I know that every single person here is connected as well, because truly there is only one of us here, and that is spirit, the life of love expressing and unfolding on the planet Earth. And so today, together, we hold up that infinite treasure that longs to be known, that love that is the pearl of great price, that power and that presence that longs to express, that longs to bloom and flourish and be that which it is here on the planet Earth. Together, we are willing to look inside and see where we might be somewhere on that continuum of violence, and where we can lift ourselves up and be that place that chooses peace over violence, that chooses love over hatred. And we allow that to inform us, to blossom within us, and to move us into creative and construction action, creative and constructive action that blesses the entire world around us. And so I'm so grateful to be in this community of resonance, so grateful for this expanding truth that draws people to us and through us, so grateful for this goodness that is life, that is God, expressing in so many, so many beautiful ways. I bless all paths to God. I bless this teaching as I bless churches, synagogues, temples, mosques, ashrams, fundamentalists, atheists, all faiths, all paths. And with a heart that is so filled with blessedness, I say, thank you, Spirit. Thank you, God. And we release these beautiful words into the mystery, into the divine mystery of love and law that always says yes. And together we say, and so it is. I am so blessed.